Hello and welcome to the Place-Based Methodologies at ETS podcast series. I am Ilaria Vanni and today I'm here with Dr. Susie Pratt from the Faculty of Transdisciplinary Innovation, where she is a scholarly teaching fellow. And Susie's background is in arts and environmental humanities. Welcome, Susie.
Thank you.
I will start asking you the easy question, which is, how do you understand place in your research?
So I come to thinking about place through my background in art, environmental humanities, as you said, and also through the lens of science and technology studies, as well as kind of human geography. And so I draw on a human geographer, Yifu Tuan, who talks about place as a field of care. And so this kind of place can exist across a lot of different scales, but practices, it encompasses practices from everyday life that give space meaning through attention, concern, and care. This is also a strong part of the feminist science and technology studies approach that I look at as well, where Donna Haraway emphasizes situated knowledges and embodied practices, where you're located in a specific site, place, rather than attempting an objective external position or God view, or view from nowhere, as she refers to it.
And what kind of methodologies do you use to understand this, you know, really beautiful and complex definition of place that you just gave us?
So now that my home is within transdisciplinary innovation, it's put a different perspective on how I think about what methodology is. So starting with arts, I used a lot of like critical making practices, and then environmental humanities explored a lot more around ethnography, interviews, and other social science qualitative methods and approaches. But now I kind of think about, and in my PhD, developed a methodology or framework which I refer to as careful prospecting, which draws on those practices of care, but in a really speculative manner brings out questions of what if to think about place and how people interact with their environments. And part of that is an emphasis on the problem. So rather than imposing a method or methodology before understanding the problem, the method and methodologies always are built and perform and are enacted and shaped and changed based on the problem, which is a really pragmatist approach as well.
And so how would you define it? Would you define your methodologies pragmatist?
Yes, yeah. So it adopts the pragmatist worldview.
And you described quite a wide range of methodologies, so clearly they will be not particularly discipline specific.
So yeah, again, as I said, it draws on that kind of pragmatist worldview and transdisciplinary practice, which is really about building bridges across different disciplines, and still very much embedded, I suppose, within feminist environmental humanities. I draw a lot from those approaches.
And in practical terms, how do you go about doing your fieldwork?
So in very practical, grounded terms, it's a really embodied practice of fieldwork. So really exploring through a lot of the different senses. So taste, smell, sight, and that involves being out in the field. And I kind of sometimes view it as sensing against the grain. So there's the term of reading against the grain, where it's reading a text with the author's view in mind is reading with the grain, and reading against the grain is reading a text for what the author is leaving out, or a critical approach to reading. And so applying that to field work through one's senses. So when one's tasting or smelling or seeing, how do you kind of critically use your senses to be an embodied approach to sensing that environment in a way that conflicts with or contrasts to and critiques imposed structures of how we should see it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
Yeah.
It does. And to do this, do you use specific technologies, for instance, I don't know, photography or sound recording?
So yeah, I draw in a lot. Like, so in my art practice, I've done sound walks where it's really about, with a colleague of mine, Chris Cottrell, we went down a river and we had microphones that went into the river and via kayaks and recording the soundscape above and below the water. It also involved a lot of photography and then taking field notes, writing in journal, but also keeping a visual diary. So having drawings as well as notations and collection of physical materials as well, sometimes from the environment, and then bringing those all together through practices that draws from discourse analysis and sort of narrative analysis as well.
And what can you understand about a place doing this kind of field work?
So I think what's really important is about dropping back into the body and having to use beyond one's rational kind of analytic framework, that sensing through all those multiple senses, to have those different connections to place that come from like touching the earth, being immersed in water, those different embodied situated knowledges.
So what kind of advice would you give to students who want to use these methodologies?
So my advice would be to engage with a particular sense that they want to heighten. So whether it's taste or whether it's smell, but to think beyond and feel beyond the traditional emphasis on visual modes or auditory modes. So to open up those different embodied experiences and to try and document those embodied feelings in different ways.
And are there any texts that you recommend?
So the key texts, I suppose, are really come from a lot of the science and technology studies work that I look at. So Maria Puig de Balacasa talks about matters of care, and Donna Haraway in her latest book, Staying with the Trouble, also speaks about these different more embodied practices and talks about speculative writing as well as part of that.
Thank you. And finally, could you give us an example from your research?
So recently, with a group of postgraduate students and a colleague, Kate Johnston, Kate and I designed a postgrad workshop called Speculative Harboring, but it was also really an art project. And so we invited the different students to bring the different PhD students to bring methods from their disciplines. So some were around ethnography and following the object, others were more historical based, understanding shipwrecks in the deep sea through archives. And we brought them all together to create a speculative field guide for Blackwattle Bay. And so that was where we were out in the field, we spoke to scientists, and other people from site, including an Indigenous elder, and brought those different knowledges together in embodied ways and created the speculative field guide for that place to kind of pose questions of what if to sense against the grain and the possibilities of futures that are being imposed by, on that space by particular development and other organizations to think about, well, what's left out of these speculations on the future and what might be and what might produce more modes of care for more responsible futures.
Thank you so much. And is there anything else you would like to add?
I feel like I didn't quite touch on enough of what often brings together some of these methods and approaches when I'm speaking or like using them is this idea of what if and speculative questioning and how much that imaginative speculative mode is an important part of my critical making practices, which also comes borrowing from Einstein. He talks about combinational play and asking what if questions to imagine like black holes and those places that we can't get to but can only speculate about with possibilities, and then combining that with detailed work to explore what that kind of means.
Thank you very much, Susie.
Thank you.